Researchers in Germany recently confirmed the existence of element 117, a jumbo-sized atom which sits on the outer edges of the periodic table. The new element is significantly heavier than uranium, which has 92 protons. Forget about proteins. And joining us now to explain how scientists have been able to push the number of protons ever higher in laboratories is Clara Moskowitz, Associate Editor of Scientific American. It's always a pleasure to welcome you to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Heavy elements like uranium are created when a star goes supernova. Since we can't recreate those that kind of tremendous energy, how do scientists make these jumbo-sized atoms?
Right. They have to do many experiments that in the lab that are trying to approach those types of energies. And in this case, they take one stationary target. They used an element called berkelium, and they shot calcium atoms at it, basically, at really high speed. They had to accelerate the calcium ions up to 10% of the speed of light.
So the berkelium atom accepted the calcium protons and became a larger atom?
Right. So occasionally, berkelium has 97 protons per nucleus and calcium has 20. So theoretically, if two of these stuck together, you would get a whole new atom with 117 protons.
Where do you find berkelium?
Actually, that is hard to do in and of itself. And part of the difficulty of this experiment was getting the target of berkelium. And the only place that can do it in the world is Oak Ridge National Lab in Tennessee. So they took 2 years to create the target of berkelium. And then it was sent to Germany.
Berkelium doesn't occur naturally?
Not in large quantities, no.
Uh-huh. But so you don't have berkelium mines?
Not at all. No, we can't find it in nature. We have to make it.
Now, we've just had a confirmation. So element 117 was created earlier, and then, as is the case in science, somebody else had to duplicate it?
Right. It was first seen in 2010, but fleetingly, and they need to see it a few times to know for sure it's been made before they add it to the periodic table.
And this was done in Germany.
That's right.
How many atoms of element 117 were they able to create?
Very few. After running this experiment, they created about one atom per week because it's only occasionally that the calcium will hit the berkelium head on with enough power that the two fuse together.
And what's the reason for doing this?
Well, one of the really cool things that came out of this is not just that you have a whole new element, which, by the way, is pretty awesome, but that we think we're approaching this whole new region of the periodic table that people have theorized, but we've never found, called the island of stability. The idea is that as atoms get heavier and heavier and heavier, usually they become more and more unstable. But perhaps if you hit these magic numbers of protons and neutrons inside the atom, they become stable all over again and could even live a really long time.
But why would it be called an element if it isn't naturally occurring?
An element simply denotes how many protons are inside the atom. So even if it's not part of nature that we've found, if it can exist, then it is part of the universe.
Should I assume that this is also highly radioactive?
Absolutely. It decays in 50 milliseconds on average.
But it also decays into a unique form of lawrencium.
Exactly.
And what's lawrencium?
Lawrencium has 103 protons per nucleus.
And that's nothing compared to this.
But what's really special about lawrencium is here you have element 117 decaying in 50,000ths of a second. But lawrencium, this particular type of it that they made, lasted 11 hours, its half-life, which is really humongous. And that gave them this hope that they might be approaching the island of stability.
And then what would happen if they did? Would there be any applications for this?
There could be. I mean, if there are island of stability elements, it means they would last a long time. You could maybe study them, even use them if you could make them. And it's possible that they're out there in the universe and we just haven't found them, that they are even here on Earth, but in such trace amounts that we haven't found them yet.
The temporary placeholder name for it in the periodic table is unenceptium. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. But I wonder about these names, berkelium, lawrencium. I guess they're named after people.
Yes, and laboratories as well that created them. I think Berkelium is named after Berkeley. I assume the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab. And, you know, you have Lawrence Livermore. You have the team that first makes the element gets to name it.
So they've named it unanseptium?
Actually, that's just a placeholder name, right. and it's the Latin roots for the numbers of the protons in it. But if it gets added to the periodic table, which has to go through bureaucracy, if it does, then the original team that made it in 2010 gets to name it.
And that's a Russian team.
That's right. A Russian-U.S. collaboration.
So it's obviously going to be Putinium. Or maybe Eastern Ukrainian or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we're going to keep on pushing? Is 117 the ultimate?
We hope not. I think they will. And it just takes more and more powerful accelerators to accelerate the target and the calcium into the target. So they've made 118 before. That's the heaviest we've ever seen. But they think they could go higher.
Have anything similar occurred naturally when, for example, with a dark hole or when stars collide?
So one idea of where some of these super heavy elements might arise is when two neutron stars hit each other. Neutron stars themselves are these really, really weird, dense objects made entirely of neutrons. And if two of them slammed into each other, it would be really powerful and you might get these heavy elements.
Something like this one, 117, element 117.
That's right.
In a totally unrelated story, scientists recently, or reported yesterday, in fact, that they've been able to create artificial DNA for the first time.
Wow.
Now researchers have been creating super heavy elements for a long time, but it seems as though we're pushing further and further beyond the limitations of nature. Should people be concerned or hopeful about this sort of thing?
I'm hopeful, but I think that you're right that we need to think about what we're doing and especially the applications of what we're doing. With these heavy elements, I mean, you can start to get scared. They're very radioactive. They're unnatural. But at the same time,
they're unstable.
Right. But I think that there's no need to approach it with that kind of fear. I mean, these are very controlled circumstances. They're creating such small quantities, et cetera. But you're right that whenever we're creating something new that's never existed, I think we should always be really conscious about how it's going to change the world we live in.
Why has it been so hard to find the island of stability?
Because to create those elements, you need something really, really powerful to forge them in the first place. The idea is once they exist, maybe they could last a long time, but like we said, it's got to be a supernova or neutron stars, and it's not going to happen that often. It's not going to happen inside normal stars, and there's going to be only a very few of them out there.
And I assume this is rather expensive research.
Absolutely, and it takes years. Like I said, it took 2 years just to create the berkelium. That was one of the ingredients of the experiment.
They're not using particle colliders like the Hadron, are they?
It's a little bit similar, but instead of colliding two speeding particles at each other, they have one stationary and they have to accelerate the other ones. But they do use very similar methods.
Is this all that different from the creation of plutonium or some of the other radioactive elements that we've had in the past?
It's not all that different, but you're talking about even more power, even more experimental methods, and creating even tracer amounts.
And could this be used in a bomb?
No. I mean, they're lucky, like I said, to get one atom a week, and it's not at all a good source for that application.
So nobody is setting up a factory right now, the element 117 factory.
I think that's a long way off.
But where does funding for this sort of research come from?
Well, it's a basic scientific research, but the neutron sources that they – or the sources that they use – have other applications. They tend to go on at national labs, so I assume it's related to some of the nuclear arms research.
Well, the artificial DNA, they're hoping with strands that are different from what nature creates, will be able to be applied to creating new kinds of antibiotics and all sorts of other things that would have all sorts of positive effects. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do once they start giving me large quantities of element 117, whatever the Russians name it. Thank you so much for being on our show again, Clara Moskowitz, Associate Editor of Scientific American. It's always fun talking with you.
Thank you.